Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 16,
Episode 42.
This is Writing Excuses. After the fact.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Dan.
I'm Ciel.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Mary Robinette.
And we are going to now take everything we've learned over the last 7 weeks, and we're going to use it as a diagnostic tool. When we get to the editing phase, how can the mice quotient help us to solve problems in our work?
So, way back in the dawn of this particular series, I talked about how to use it if you were a pantser, that you could use it to make choices about which direction that you were going. As a diagnostic tool, it's very useful in identifying weak points and story bloats. So the reason that I wanted to break it apart into individual pieces when we first started is to help you understand what each piece does structurally. It's a super unnatural way to tell stories, and it's not something that you would normally do. Like, it's, as Dan pointed out earlier, it takes good stories and it breaks them and makes them worse when you strip them down to being a single thread story. But it does tell you what each piece does. So if the ending of your story feels like it's flopping, what you can do is look at the questions you set up and the kinds of conflicts that dominate the middle, and then see if that ending matches. And then what you get to do is you get to decide which of those things you like best. One of the things that you may have heard me talk about in previous episodes is that I used to have stories that had a great beginning and a great middle and a great ending to three completely different stories that happened to have the same set of characters. And what was happening was that I would begin a story that was a character story, and the conflicts that my character struggled with in the middle were all in a milieu. And then when I'd get to the event, to the end, and I'd solve an event that I had never really set up, and my character was still in the milieu, and their character issues were still unresolved, and it was just not satisfying. So what was happening to me when I started figuring this out is that I would just back into stories and be like, this story is good. I don't know what I did. And the mice quotient allows me to flag things and address them in a somewhat more systematic way. So how do you identify these questions? When you're looking at the story, look at the conflicts that dominate the middle. Are they trying to escape someplace or navigate? If they're trying to escape someplace, you've got a milieu. Is the bulk of their energy being spent on answering questions? That's a very strong inquiry. Do they have a big chunk of the middle where they are unhappy with themselves? You've got a strong character thread going on there. And then, are they trying to change the status quo? Change the sense of normal, then there's an event that's happening. So that means that you know the kinds of barriers that you needed to keep throwing at them, and you can check to see if those are the kinds of barriers that are happening to your character. Are things preventing them from leaving? Are things blocking their attempts to answer questions? Do they just keep getting unhappier? Are more things just going wrong? Like, if you take a look at those and you're like, oh, actually, they're supposed to be answering questions right now, but instead all they're doing is thinking about what a terrible, terrible person they are, and I don't actually really set that up, and I don't pay it off. So at that point, your choice is you can either pull that thread out and remove the thing where they angst about their sadness, or you can strengthen it by adding stuff at the beginning and the end. And the choice comes down to your personal taste and the purely mechanical question of length. If you've got the space and you like it, strengthen it. If you don't have the space or you don't like it, cut it. So simple when I describe it that way.
So I have a really good example of this from my own work. One of my early novels is called The Hollow City, which is about a man with schizophrenia. And I, in the first draft of that, I had a chapter in which he was trapped in a room. He'd been locked in and his medication is wearing off, and he was starting to, you know, have delusions and hallucinations and this sense of, oh no, I'm going crazy. And it didn't work in the least tiny bit. And in hindsight, it's easy to see that I had started a milieu story, him locked in a room and he needs to survive and escape. But every obstacle I had thrown at him and every solution that he was coming up with were all character-based, because I was trying to focus on the room and on his kind of conquering his mind at the same time. And it just wasn't working. And I'm not saying that that kind of thing couldn't work, but I certainly was doing it all wrong. And so looking at it in these terms helped me to figure out, oh, that's why this doesn't work. That's why this is a problem. And I was able to fix it.
You just reminded me of something that I cut out of The Relentless Moon. In one of the chapters, and this is, I don't count this as a spoiler, things go wrong in space. Surprise. But in one of the chapters, as a consequence, I had someone get a concussion. And the person who got the concussion wasn't one of the main characters. It was someone who was on a ship that they were on. And the problem that I had was that this was now a new event thread that was not related to my other events threads. It was a disruption of the status quo, and it was one that I was not planning on tying up or resolving in any way. But people were going to want it resolved because I had injured a character and my characters cared about the person, but it wasn't part of the big event that I was trying to solve. It was a different kind of event, and it was pulling focus away from the main events, which were things going wrong because the saboteur was doing them. So I pulled it completely out of the novel altogether. And it was, again, that thing of looking at it and going, okay, what is the answer that I'm going to be giving to this? And does that answer fit with the ending that I'm heading for? Do the conflicts that people have to go through to resolve this fit with the other kinds of conflicts? Because to help the person with the concussion, that meant it was all of the solutions that were around that were lots of time in hospital rooms. And those were not things that I was interested in doing.
I think the biggest thing that I had to do and to learn in writing novels was in which mark everything was too easy. When Miles decided that he needed to know something or do something or talk to someone or anything, it would be like, okay, so you do that. And I wasn't coming up with I wasn't coming up with problems. What I was basically doing was I didn't have a character. I had a mail carrier, and he would go to a place and somebody would hand him information, and then he would go to a different place and somebody would hand him more information. And that was the only thing that was happening.
That was painfully familiar.
And I mean, I know that this episode is titled After the Fact, and we're using it, or we're talking about how you can use it as a diagnostic tool when you're editing. So therefore, it's presuming that you have a body of work. I don't have a middle of my novel right now, and I certainly don't have an end. So I'm wondering whether I can use these kinds of questions at the start of my, starting to plan my novel to help me not have weak points and to help me not have story bloat.
Possible. Yeah, like you can absolutely say the if you're an outliner, you can absolutely use it as ways of thinking about the shape of the story in outline form.
So you get your outline
and you look at it and you're like, oh, there is not enough of X. Or one of the things that I have done is I have color coded things based on which mice element is kind of the major driver of any given moment, and looked at it and realized that it's very heavily weighted towards one in the beginning, and then another one comes to dominate. That will happen sometimes naturally, but frequently when you've got something that's out of balance, it is because of something like that. It's because your focus as the writer shifted during the course of writing it. And what I also will find when I'm doing outlining is that my understanding of the story is different when I get to the end than it was when it was at the beginning, but I don't necessarily go back and clean that up to make it fit the ending unless I do several passes through that outline. And even then, when I get into the story, I'm still doing revisions based on new understanding, but trying to keep things in those, within whatever I've decided are my major drivers, trying to keep my focus in those areas helps.
Hey, writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Great.
Let's pause for a moment for our book of the week, really quick. And we're going to do something a little different this time around. Our wonderful audio guy who records all this stuff for us is Marshall. Yay, Marshall.
Yay, Marshall.
And he has a fantastic podcast that he does with some other writers, and he's going to tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on here, guys. Our podcast is called Just Keep Writing. The tagline is a podcast for writers, by writers, to keep you writing. You might notice some of the names are familiar if you've gone on the Writing Excuses retreats and that kind of thing. I do the podcast with Nick Bright, Will Ralston, and Brent Lambert. We're kind of a community-focused podcast that we discuss craft, our own writing processes, and our journeys. So, for example, lately we've been doing a lot of talk about editing, speaking of editing, with Brent, who's a professional editor. He works for FIA Magazine as well. We've been talking about his recent work and the editing process. We've done author interviews. Mary Robinette and Dan have both been on. Piper J. Drake as well. And Brent and I do a kind of a spinoff called Just Keep Writing While Black, where we interview Black debut, you know, emerging authors. So we've been having a lot of fun. So definitely check us out. We're wherever you find podcasts, justkeepwriting.org. We also have a Discord channel, which is we do collaborations, write-ins, feedback, and that kind of stuff too. And we're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So check us out. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Marshall. It is a really good podcast.
Thanks to you.
Yeah. And the podcast is one of the reasons that we realized that when we needed an engineer, that we should ask Marshall. And we've been very happy that he has been joining us for these. Okay, so let's continue talking about how to kind of use this as a diagnostic tool. You can use it to look at the overall structure, but you can also use it on a scene-by-scene basis. So when we were talking earlier in one of the early episodes, we talked about how you could have a mice element that existed only in one spot in the story. So if you've got a scene that isn't working well and you're trying to figure out why, look to see what in that scene is, which mice element is kind of your dominant driver in that scene. And you're asking the same set of questions. As an example, which I have given before in a previous episode, when I was working on Glamour in Glass, I think, yes, I'm forgetting my own books, I had a problem. I had a plot problem because there was a thing that hadn't been invented yet that I had hinged everything on. And I had to fix it. I had to pull that thing out. And I had to fix it, and I was struggling trying to figure out what to replace it with. And then I stepped back. I was like, okay, in essence, this scene is a milieu scene. They have to get in, rescue someone, and then get back out. So if I know that it's a milieu scene, that means that all of my conflicts and also all of my solutions are coming from the milieu as the primary driver. And that allowed me to plot my way through this scene and to fix the scene. So, you know, if your character is struggling with themselves and you're having problems moving them forward, remembering that it is an internal conflict, it is a conflict that happens with themselves. That means that your conflicts, but also your solutions, can come from inside the character. Or you can braid something and move it through to shift the focus. If you're at a thing where you don't want to solve it and you want to push it someplace else, you can ramp up the tension by having that other thread come through. So looking at it afterwards, when you're trying to figure out what is wrong, using the mice quotient after the fact to go, okay, this is what's gone wrong with it, and here are some possible solutions. It just gives you another set of tools. Right. So thank you for joining us on the exciting
masterclass about the mice quotient in our deep dive. I hope these tools are useful. Your homework assignment is to apply them not to the fairy tale that I've been having you work with, but something that is a current work in progress. I want you to look at something that you've been struggling with. Look at it. See if you can identify the mice quotient elements, and if that gives you a new set of tools to understand what is going wrong with that and how to fix it. And then fix it. It's a very simple exercise this time. Thank you so much for
all you have to do is fix your thing.
Yeah, that's it. But if they're trapped someplace, figure out how they get out. If they aren't happy with themselves, figure out what can make them happy. If you have imposter syndrome, the best way to fix that is to be out of excuses. Now go write. This episode of Writing Excuses was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. Your hosts were Dan Wells, C.L. Polk, Charlotte Forfier, and Mary Robinette Kowal.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.